Rodgers lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Bison Report for 24/7 Sports. And joining me, as always, or not as always, actually, this is kind of a reintroduction to Nate the Great Zastro. Nate is our hoops guy. Hoops season is barreling kind of at us, especially picking up a little bit of steam here after North Dakota State was named the preseason favorite in the Summit League. I think that's probably, honestly, the first time since since Taylor Braun's senior year, because that year that they won the league immediately after that, no one had that expectation. So really, not unprecedented expectations, but it's definitely been a minute. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hoop season's coming up here soon, so I'm getting a little excited. I think 19 days till the exhibition game, 25 days till we play in Manhattan. So it's exciting times for our hoops fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Super exciting times indeed, and something definitely we want to point out is just a really quick content plug, and that's that your capsules have started. They'll be every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, breaking down the entire non-conference schedule. And I have to say, you know, I added a little bit to those, but they were pretty great. And we have a lot of info for you guys on teams that North Dakota State's going to play, both home and away. But this is maybe a 2022, 24, 26 team, 26 win team, depending on how much they get out of these older seniors and juniors. Because finally, it seems like Coach Richmond has had a team kind of stick together and potentially, you know, have that opportunity to be an upperclassman type of team. He's done some great things with young rosters, but that time finally seems to have maybe come to a little bit of an end here, because this is a loaded group of talented kids that have been in the program for a while, and that is for sure. So I want to talk a little bit about the preseason poll that came out with North Dakota State number one. I think USD was their top competitor there. Just kind of your thoughts on being favorites, Nate, because that's something that Coach Richmond, I know, would prefer probably to avoid. They always say that they have the same expectations every year, and that's to win the league, and I honestly believe that. But at the same time, I think he would prefer, if at all possible, to kind of slide under the radar. Was that not maybe your feeling when you were associated with the program?
Yeah, it's nice having that underdog role. Obviously, your goal is always to win that conference tournament. You want to go to the big dance. That's your first goal. First goal is the regular season, then to win three games in March. I think you're right. Coach Richmond would rather be in that underdog role and not pick to win the league. It does put a target on your back, people gunning for you. But I think this is a mature group, and they probably like that. I mean, we got a bunch of seniors and a bunch of kids coming back from a team that went to the tournament last year. Seeing some of the all-league team preseason, I know there's going to be some players with some chips on their shoulder coming into this year. I think that's just going to make them hungry, and they're going to want to take everyone's best shot, and I think they'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. The league is in an interesting place. South Dakota, like I said, as the second-place squad, they are bringing back the preseason player of the year in Stanley Amude, who is a really athletic kid and has a ton of potential, great rebounder for a wing, excellent scorer, shoots the ball pretty well. But, you know, you're no slouch if you are the preseason player of the year Oral Roberts has a couple of studs coming back in Zakwezi and Kevin O'Banner, both pretty big dudes. So they're going to be strong up front. The guard play may be a little bit of a question there. And then beyond that, you've got Omaha, South Dakota State. And those are two teams that had some excellent results in the regular season last year. And while, frankly, Omaha was pretty good in the postseason, obviously making it to the point where they lose to North Dakota State. But you have some significant, you know, losses off those teams. Mike Dom graduating, David Jenkins Jr., transferring to be with Coach Otzelberger in Vegas. Then off of Omaha, you've got Mitch Hahn that is done, and as is Zach Jackson. And the questions, I think, have a lot to do with, are those guys like Matt Pyle and JT Gibson ready to carry a team like Omaha? And is, you know, are Brandon Key and some more defensive-minded guys able to play so well defensively for Coach Hendo that the scoring punch of Jenkins and Dom isn't felt? That gets to be really, really questionable, as frankly does the roster for Fort Wayne without Cason Harrell and John Conchar. Conchar being, honestly, that's one guy too. If he was in this league at a time when Mike Dom wasn't, I think, and frankly, to a lesser degree, Matt Mooney, but if he was in this league when Mike Dom wasn't in this league, I think we would have remembered John Conchar a lot differently, because that was an extremely special player. The way that he affected the game, steals, assists, points, rebounds, Conchar was, he was truly, truly special, and I'll never forget him absolutely just taking over the game in Fargo. He absolutely just isolated Tyson Ward and shot pull-up threes from 25 feet that didn't even hit the rim. They just gently breezed the net as they went through. What a player he was. Anything stick out to you as far as, we'll talk about the first team and the second team, because I kind of have a bone to pick with the assembled media, as I sometimes do. But anything really jump out to you 1 through 9 here?
You know, I think Oral Roberts is going to be NDSU's biggest competition.
You're not the only guy that thinks that.
Nkwezi and O'Banner, I mean, just watching those guys, I've got to watch a couple of their games on ESPN+, just because I like basketball. But O'Banner was only a freshman last year. I mean, if he works at all in the offseason, he's going to be a stud. I mean, he averaged 14.5 points a game and 7 rebounds as a freshman. Nkwezi averaged 15.5 rebounds. I mean, those are two guys at the rim that are going to be good. If they get any type of guard play, I think that's going to be NDSU's biggest competition for that top spot. I didn't get to watch South Dakota as much last year. I watched them that first game against NDSU early on, and then I watched them in the Summit League tournament where Fort Wayne just could not miss against them, and that game was over about 10 minutes in. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. Obviously, they had a new coach last year, so it'll be interesting to see how they adjust to him in their second year. Omaha, like you said, JT Gibson can score a little bit. Matt Pyle's just your lunch
so big.
Pale big guy who's going to bang down there. He's going to rebound. He's going to dunk on some folks. He's a guy you want in the middle. I mean, he kind of takes – he's not really much of a scoring punch, but we'll see. I mean, he did average 11 a game last year, but he'll be looked on to score a little bit more this year, more in other teams' game plan. I think South Dakota State lost a lot. You got a new coach. It's going to be really interesting to see how they adjust. And you're losing the Summit League's all-time leading scorer, and then arguably probably the second-best scorer in the league last year. You had 1 and 2. Fort Wayne, I lived in Fort Wayne, so I got to watch him practice, go to a couple games once in a while. Conchar's might be arguably one of the best all-around players the Summit League's seen. I mean, just the way – it's so weird because you look at his face when he's playing and he looks like he doesn't care, and then all of a sudden it's going to be boom, boom, boom right in your face. I mean, he did single-handedly beat NDSU.
100%.
Last year in Fargo. So
his silent assassin like body language reminds me of Jabril Cox, which I know is a weird cross school, cross sport comp, but he just is, like I said, he's just the effortless assassin. That kid was so special.
Yeah, he's just really good. I mean, he could get a triple double if he wanted to. He could score 25 if he wanted to. I mean, he's just one of those players that he just wanted to win. It's Fort Wayne is one of those teams where they just couldn't quite get over that hump, get into that Summit Final and giving themselves a chance. I think Western Illinois, Colby Webster, I mean, he can take over a game at any point, which makes them kind of tough. Playing in Macomb is never easy. I know they've struggled. They're an 8 seed last year. Obviously, they were good enough to beat South Dakota State in the tournament. Yeah. But Webster, I mean, he took over that game late against North Dakota State. I believe it was him. And he was tough to stop. He was tough to stay in front of. They had a freshman last year. I can't remember his name. I'm losing a blank here. But, yeah, they had a freshman last year that he'll get a little bit better. But I think they could be a little bit of a surprise team. Other than that, I think Oral Roberts is going to be tough. It's always tough to go down to Tulsa. It's not really in the North or Midwest. They're well coached, and they got a tough nose guy. But I think O'Banner and Nkwezi are going to be tough. I mean, we struggled with them. We're lucky we got hot in that Summit League tournament, or could have been Oral Roberts in the final going to the tournament last year.
Yeah, they're a tough matchup. Our guy Brian Sean is right there, lockstep with you. He has the exact same opinion of Oral Roberts as the second best team. And in South Dakota, I mean, you know, they get Hagedorn back. Tristan Simpson he did a good job scoring. And you know, Amude, he's a tough matchup, but this is just a really, really good Bison roster. I think this is probably the best Bison roster since, you know, the year probably right after, I think it was right after you graduated, the year when Taylor and Trayvon and Marshall were seniors. This is, I think, maybe that level of roster. And that starts with Vinny Shahid. Vinny, who really, if you split his stats, and there's nothing wrong with 13, 3, and 3, but if you split his stats up to the second half of the season when he really started to understand the system and kind of was unleashed, he was even a level above that. And I think is a legitimate contender for the player of the year. If North Dakota State goes 13-3 or 12-4 in the league, I think there's a chance that unless there's a big statistical gap between like an Amude or an O'Banner or maybe Kobe Webster just averages 28 a game. I don't know, but Vinny, I think, has a chance. As frankly, and this is gonna freak some people out, but as does Tyson Ward. Tyson, especially if you watch the way that he played in the tournament and in the NCAA tournament with the development of that low post game, and he's always been a good shooter and a good athlete. His fourth year in the program, I've spoken to him a little bit. I've seen him working in the offseason. Vin works, Tyson works, but I got to tell you, there are not, and I'm not going to point out which player I don't think is or isn't or whatever, but there are not six players in this league that are better than Tyson Ward. And that was the other thing I wanted to talk about was Tyson being, relegated to the second team all Summit as a senior. And that's just not realistic, guys. There just aren't six better players in the league. He just affects the game in too many ways. He's left-handed, which always messes with people, but his ability to, stretch out bigger, longer guys that are trying to defend him, that are maybe a little bit slower of foot by knocking down threes, and then at the exact same time going into the block and abusing smaller guards, he's just going to be too difficult of a matchup for this league to not be able to be, you know, an all Summit League first team. And I think that there is a level that he can go to where, like I said, he can go, I think, to maybe if not the peak Taylor Braun level, he can get like right underneath that. And I really, really, really believe in this kid. If you couldn't tell already, anything kind of jump out to you on these first first team or second team?
I think it shows the depth of North Dakota State's roster. I mean, you have one guy in first team, one guy in second team, and you pick them first. But then Oral Roberts has two on first team. South Dakota has two on first team. So it either shows the depth of it or players just aren't getting that type of respect. I think I know North Dakota State coaches are smart. I guarantee you they showed film of Tyson Ward in the Summer League tournament and against North Dakota Central and Duke, where he just had an all-around game about him. Swagger to him. He had that confidence about him. If they win the league, unless it's someone else besides Tyson and Vinny, maybe Vinny and Rocky or Vinny and Sam, but I mean those are just kind of sleepers. You got to put two guys on first team if they win the league, which is why I was a little surprised that you don't get two guys on first team in the preseason if you're going to pick them to win the league. Also, preseason player of the year. I mean, unless a Moutier was just some dominant player last year and he's the preseason player of the year, how do you not put the top team and put their best player on there when the stats aren't that far apart from the other players? So, I mean, it's preseason. No one cares about preseason. All they care about is if you win three games in March and you're going to play on CBS against whoever and seeing your name on the screen on Selection Sunday. So, this stuff's all nice. It's stuff you talk about. Tyson will get a chip on his shoulder because of it. Other guys might do it, but I think ultimately they're team first guys, and the accolades are nice to look back on years down the line. But I think they're most worried about winning that conference and going to March Madness again.
Oh, for sure. I guarantee you, though. I mean, I will say this, and I'm not, and will never be. But if I was on North Dakota State's staff, I would have a picture or a printout of the all Summit first team, and I would stick it in Tyson's locker for the entire season. Just make sure that he sees it every single day, because I'm not buying it. But you're right. I mean, it's not something that's important to them. It's something that, it's for the media to talk about and for a guy like me to get all bent out of shape about. And that's what it's there for. I want to kind of dive into the rotation and dive into the roster just a little bit, because it's a little bit fascinating to me. And so, not as much during your time, but I've not necessarily made fun of Coach Richmond, but kind of been a little bit critical of his short rotations when it gets down to crunch time. And I just for fun picked up the championship in 2015, North Dakota State 57, South Dakota State 56. Coach Richmond played seven guys, and one of them only got 18 minutes, and that was Dexter Werner. He basically played Alexander Jacobson, Caden, Corey Brown, and Carlin the entire time, with Paul Miller working in as a true freshman to get that game, and has always been, or was for a long time, a short rotation kind of guy, and just finding those seven, six and a half guys that he trusts. And last year, that just wasn't the case. It couldn't be the case because his team was that deep. I'm looking at the last really super competitive game that they played, which was, of course, North Carolina Central. Tyson, 29 minutes. Vinny, 31 minutes. Samuelson, 35 minutes. Sammy Griesel, 28. Rocky, 24. Cameron Hunter, 18. Tyree Edie, 11. Dengu, 16. Chris Quayle, 5. And Jordan Horn, 3, which is a 10-man rotation. And I don't know as though that's going to be the deal moving forward, if it'll be nine guys or 10 guys, but I can pretty much guarantee you it won't be eight. And that's, I think, something that they have to figure out a little bit. And I'm interested to get your take, because you have kind of an interesting situation where the most highly recruited kid, or the highest profile recruit that you've gotten in a long time, Jarius Cook, he didn't necessarily pan out the way you would have hoped to last year, but you pulled his red shirt. I mean, he played in the first game. He was part of the initial plan. So you burn his red shirt. Then Jackson Notek, Tyson Ward is unavailable for some disciplinary reasons for a week. You burn Jackson's red shirt. Jackson tears up the Puerto Rico trip. Both those players, by the way, that I just mentioned, did not play against NC Central. And you lost Dengu and Jordan Horn but you add Tyler Wits, who is a kind of a banger and is a bigger, you know, 250-pound thicker dude that is, I think, there probably for those dang minutes if Odell isn't there for those dang minutes. And what I'm trying to get at here is, how are the red shirts handled? How is the rotation handled? Do you, you know, are you still able to play Chris Quayle as a senior? You know, are Jarius and Jackson, do you tell one of them that you're going to try and recapture their red shirt and get three solid years when you have two wings graduating? I don't know. Malik Harden-Hayes played extremely well, and it would have seemed completely unheard of coming into this season, but what if he forces his way, you know, to not using his red shirt? I think that the rotation is interesting, and I think that the red shirt, who is or isn't going to red shirt, is interesting because the five starters from last year are all back. They're all going to play. I think whoever wins the job, I mean, I don't think I know. They have to have a backup five. So either Odell Wilson or Wits is going to win that job and get those 16 to 18 minutes a game. And Edie is 100% going to back up Griesel. That's just a fact. In fact, Tyree was one of the most efficient players in college basketball last year offensively, and I've shown some true shooting percentage numbers and a few other things to kind of prove that. But you have a lot of other weird minutes from one, two, and three that you've got to figure out between Cam Hunter, Chris Quayle, Jackson Notek, and Jarius Cook. If again, like I said, if Malik Harden-Hayes doesn't force himself onto the team, what are your thoughts on this stuff, Nate? I mean, what are you thinking from a rotation standpoint? Do you risk a kid like Jarius hopping into the transfer portal if you tell him you're going to shirt him? I mean, what are you thinking?
Early on, I mean, I think you play a lot of guys early on. I think that rotation can get to 10 early on to kind of earn your way. But like you said, I actually read something earlier this week. I think it was Iowa had a Jack, is it Nunge or Nungy or something? Big 7-footer. He played his freshman year because he had to. Last year decides he wants to redshirt. They had Tyler Cook, didn't see many minutes for him, and now they're he was one of their top recruits and comes back, and he's supposed to play a pretty big role here this year. So I don't know if that is an option in that program or not. I know that it is a little risky, and I know we talked about it last time on the podcast. It is risky telling a kid as a sophomore when he's worked all offseason to earn minutes that you're going to redshirt. It's almost like you're not good enough yet. You need to wait another year, even though he may be good enough. The roster just has that much depth right now. But, I mean, Vinny's going to play. Jared's going to play. Cam's going to be the spark off the bench. Tyson's going to play. Griesel's going to play. I mean, they have a lot of guys to try to figure out, and it's going to be interesting early on. I think we'll get a little bit of a glimpse of kind of what he's thinking, but like what happened last year, I mean, that rotation can change throughout the year. Non-conference is the time to kind of see if where guys' roles are once conference season hits. I mean, it's always kind of the same way. Once conference hits, that rotation kind of tightens up when you need to get a win, and tournament time, it really tightens up, kind of like unless you've earned your stripes and earn trust of the coaching staff. If you make a mistake or don't do your job well, I mean, you're going to play 5 minutes and that's going to be it. But I think this is a mature group, and I think they really do want to win. I mean, Rocky's going to start that five. They may go small and throw Tyree, or if they have a matchup problem, they might throw Tyson in the post. You can play five guards and see how they guard that. Because Tyree's a big, bulky kid. He can guard a post player. I don't think, unless you're playing Oral Roberts or maybe a Matt Pyle, is there really any true back-to-the-basket five-man? I mean, it seems a lot of the game of basketball, a lot of these positions are interchangeable. So I don't think each guy needs to strictly be specific to, okay, I'm just a four, I'm just a five, I'm just a one. So, I mean, a lot of these positions are interchangeable. I think you can kind of futz with different lineup combinations, and it's better to have more depth than having to go seven deep and not that's it. Cause I mean, one injury or whatever, and you're screwed. So I think Coach Richmond it pushes the guys every day. I mean, I'm imagining they're having some very highly competitive practices with guys earning minutes, and I know he's getting the most out of them in this preseason to be ready for November 5th.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of some of the conversations I've had is just opportunities and what the transfer portal has done to mid-major basketball. You saw David Jenkins Jr., you saw Amude declare for the transfer portal and then decide to go back to South Dakota State despite multiple high major offers. Or excuse me, South Dakota, not South Dakota State, but Amude decided to go back to Vermillion despite plenty of interest. And I just think a guy like Jarius, who had a Northern Iowa offer and was highly recruited, you have to be pretty freaking sure that the kid's bought in, either he or Jackson, you know, to try and recapture that. Or are you in a situation, and this has happened before, where, you know, you got big time minutes and big time spots from a guy like Chris Quayle when he was a sophomore and a junior, but because of his offensive limitations, if Cook and Notek are able to kind of catch up defensively, maybe he's a guy that doesn't see a ton of minutes, even though he is a senior. And then you fit into that role where you're an excellent practice player and you are ready if called upon, but you're just a good teammate and an extension of the coaching staff, which is somewhat similar to what you did as a senior. And I think that there is maybe not a great chance, because I know that Dave absolutely loves Chris and specifically loves the way that he defends, but I'm just trying to find minutes for guys, and I can't possibly imagine they're going to go 11 deep. Like, that's just not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be games where guys aren't going to play much. But like you said, you got to be ready when called upon. I mean, there might be a game where someone just isn't all there mentally and the way they're playing. And I think that's a big thing that NDSU does have, that depth, because if Chris is that guy that doesn't seem to get that many minutes, all of a sudden Cam Hunter or Jared's not hitting shots, or they're just not there. Richmond's going to be able to trust a guy like Chris Quayle, being a senior, to be able to throw him in there and know that he's going to defend, he's going to knock down an open shot, and he's going to play as hard as he can.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, sometimes, and I certainly don't wish this upon any of the kids, it's not the point, but sometimes these things figure themselves out. You have a long-term injury, or, you know, a kid does decide to redshirt or whatever. Like I said, sometimes these types of things work themselves out. But right now it's extremely intriguing because there is talented depth up and down the roster. And, you know, to be honest, and I know it sounds kind of nuts when you're losing a Vinny and a Jared and Tyson, but these guys are going to be really, really good next year too. That's a different show. That's the conversation that we'll have after, you know, they lose in the Elite Eight this year.
That would be awesome. I think this team does have the potential to make a run.
I mean, I think they could 13-4 or 12-5 somebody again, yeah, with this, depending on the matchup, obviously. But, you know, it would be fun. I mean, that's what I've always said, the pinnacle of covering North Dakota State and being around these programs, I think, even more. And I love the football team, obviously. I mean, you know, it does tremendous traffic for us. And, you know, I love football and I love breaking down the film. I love my relationships with the staff and the players. But hoops is kind of where my heart is and always has been. I've even got some feedback on this show that I wish we wouldn't talk so much hoops. But I think a second weekend run by North Dakota State men's basketball would be kind of a bucket list thing. And obviously I have nothing to do with achieving it or not achieving it, but boy, making it past the round of 32 and even losing in the Sweet 16 would just be incredible. Like if that Taylor Braun team would have been, that was a really good San Diego State team, but flying out to LA for the regional and going from 16 to 8 and then obviously sending a team to the 4, what an experience that would be. But we are getting massively ahead of ourselves. Coach Richmond's probably like just smashing the radio right now, trying to get me to stop to stop talking. If you are listening, Coach, what's up? The schedule, something that we need to kind of go over a little bit. The opener is interesting. The Chris Kleiman Bowl, the Gene Taylor Bowl. Gene, I definitely know isn't listening, but what's up, Gene? Quite a opener. Very similar to the football team opening up the season in 2013. You know, I would say that NDSU's basketball's, you know, national championship, if you would call it that, or their ultimate goal, you know, is to win the conference tournament and go on to March Madness, and they did that. And so did, you know, the 2012 Bison. They won their national championship, which is the actual national championship. They went to Manhattan to play the defending Big 12 champions. North Dakota State's going to Manhattan to play the defending Big 12 champions. And both times, senior-laden teams that lost a ton of guys. And let me tell you, Kansas State is a senior, a former obviously, senior-laden team that lost a ton of guys. I mean, Dean Wade's not walking through that door. Barry Brown's not walking through that door. Kamau Stokes isn't walking through that door. These were three guys that were Kansas State basketball for three, 4 seasons. If Coach Richmond is going to get that dub, that Power Five dub that has so far eluded him, I think this is a hell of a shot, because it's a team that when Dean Wade went down, really struggled to score, and you know, had to run the offense through Barry Brown and try and get Kamau Stokes some open threes, but you know, McCall Maween, not a scorer, Xavier Sneed really streaky. Xavier Sneed will be the most talented kid on the floor. And by the way, his matchup with Tyson Ward, something I could not be more excited about. But Sneed will be the most athletic guy, most talented guy on the floor. But if we get a bad Xavier Sneed type of night, it might be upset city down in the Little Apple.
Yeah, I think that matchup is interesting. I mean, they lost a lot. And
they did, yeah.
They pride themselves on defense. So, I mean, if you get a team, you pack it in, you make them hit shots, and they're not hitting shots. It is a team, like you said. I mean, they really did struggle to score. I mean, I watch college basketball every night of the week. So, I mean, if Kansas State was on TV, I was watching them. They want to play in the 50s and 60s in the Big 12. They're going to be one of the top defensive teams in the country. They're going to have some big, athletic, strong dudes in the paint. But you never know what can happen. NDSU has shooters. They have a late shot clock guy in Vinny that can hit some big shots if we need them. Jared's going to hit open shots. Tyson can exploit some matchups. I think they're going to come to that game with a lot of pride coming off of an NCAA tournament game playing Duke. I think they're going to be excited if they can jump on them. It's not as easy playing from behind if they get any type of lead. And if they're not hitting shots, I mean, it definitely could be what we're talking about here. Don't want to put too much pressure on them, because it is the defending Big 12 champs. I'm sure Bruce Weber will get that team in at least the top half of their league. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the Big 12 predictions yet. But Xavier Sneed's a very talented player. He could go off for 20, 25, 30 any night. He can really get it going. And Maywim, I mean, I know he's not a scorer, but he is a load in the middle. It's going to be tough to score on the paint on them. But I'm definitely interested to see how we compete with them, with our roster coming back and for what they lost. It's going to be the first game they had two recruits at like 115, 118. So borderline 3-4-star recruits. It's going to be their first game. So, I mean, and they're going to be expected to come in and possibly give Kansas State some minutes. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust to a senior laden, experienced, mature team coming into their house the first game. But I'm sure Kansas State's going to be excited too. I'm sure Gene has told them all about North Dakota State and the upset minded and all the upsets they pulled in the past. Granted, it wasn't basketball back in 2012, but the basketball program has put together some upsets in their history. I mean, Oklahoma, and they're an experienced team, mature team, and they've proven that they're going to win consistently.
Yeah, Maywean, and that's a big deal, is the ability, I think, for I don't think there's going to be a big-time Tyler Witts game. I think it's going to be a Rocky Cruiser game and some high screens, pick and pop, keep Rocky away from the basket and make Maywean close out on those threes. And not only close out on the threes, but just create lanes for Vinny, create post-up opportunities for Tyson Ward, you know, some drive, maybe some kickouts for some Jared corner threes. Those are my favorite kind. It's an interesting matchup for somebody that spent as much time as I did watching both teams. It's a very, very interesting matchup. The home opener, I think, is something that's, at least worth discussing against Cal Poly. Not necessarily, world beaters a season ago, certainly, but a team that is bringing in some grad transfers and trying to get right now. They brought in two guards that are grad transfers, brought back, quite a bit of scoring, but something to at least arm John Smith with, who's a part of an excellent mid-major program at Cal State Fullerton. I think even a mid-major program that was in the dance last year. I can't for sure remember if that's accurate, but I think it is. A nice little home game, though, I think, for the home opener, and something that I would assume the staff thinks they're probably getting a dub there.
Yeah, I mean, Cal Poly really struggled last year, and grad transfers are not. It does take time for teams to mesh and have chemistry. Fullerton actually lost the final to Irvine last year, but they did go the year before.
Okay.
Yeah, Irvine was the team out of there last year. But yeah, Cal Poly, I mean, I think they were 6-23 last year. New coach. It's good to get them at home. I think it'll be a good home opener. Definitely one that you want to win and play well in, especially for our fans. Mayville, you kind of look at that as the home opener, but that'll be an interesting one 2 days after Kansas State. I mean, they'll be traveling the 6th. Going to have their energy up for that one. They should be able to handle them, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see how they respond after a Kansas State game. But yeah, Cal Poly, I think the transfers were from Boise State and actually got one from Fullerton. So it'll be interesting to see how that team meshes together. I would think it might take them a little bit. It's probably good to get them early on in the year before Christmas. So I think that'll be a good home opener for us.
Yeah, I might have to, after that game is done, I just might have to hide in, maybe Jackson Notek's bag or something and head down to the Islander Invitational, because Corpus Christi on the beach November 15th through the 17th sounds a lot nicer than it's going to be here in Fargo, especially you look outside our window right now at this weather, and the Islander Invitational really seems nice. But the one team that interests me is Stony Brook. And Stony Brook is, of course, where North Dakota State Athletic Director Matt Larson comes from. But that's a good basketball league out there. And that's, I think, A&M, you would hope that North Dakota State could take care of Rio Grande Valley and could take care of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But Stony Brook, that's a good, I think, mid-major game. That's something that, I think you're kind of looking forward to a team out of that conference. Vermont's been good in the past. UMBC, of course, everybody remembers UMBC, but I think that's going to be a fun test at a neutral site in the championship of whatever that round robin type of deal is.
Yeah, I mean, that. I think that league is a very underrated league. Stony Brook, I think their coach, Jeff Bowles, who used to be at Ohio State with Mata, he actually just took the Ohio job where Saul was at. So they do have a new coach, but they've had some talented rosters. So I'm sure some of those players from their previous teams have stayed around. Definitely a great mid-major test. It's great to get those games at a neutral site. I mean, I love the tournaments that we played in. You play one home team, and then you play two really good mid-majors at a neutral site. I mean, I know the year, I think it was my sophomore year, we played Oregon at Oregon, and then we played Santa Barbara, who went to the tournament that year and had Orlando Johnson. Then we played Denver, who wasn't a part of our league yet. Then after Indiana, we play Duquesne, Youngstown, and forget who the last team was. I think it was Northern Arizona. But, I mean, those type of tournaments really get your team ready. They're quality mid-major opponents. You're going to be in a gym with no people. It's just going to be you guys. You're on the road. You're in warm weather. You should be happy. And that those type of wins can kind of push you forward, and they're great to look back at. Those type of wins as those teams, because Stony Brook's going to be good in their league. They have been the last few years, so it'll be great to look back at that game and see that you got a win there, but it's going to be a great test for them.
Absolutely. You look at, Utah Valley team, good team, not a great league, but a good team from last year at Idaho. That should not be a difficult game, although, you know, all road games are difficult. Really fun, I think, mid-major matchup with Indiana State. I've always said that ultimately I think the next step up, if the Big 12 never comes calling or the AAC never comes calling, which I think at this point neither of those things are likely, but the big jump for NDSU athletics would be to go to the Valley in all sports. And that also is something I'm not sure I think is likely, especially with all the I-29 teams just coming into the Summit and making way too much travel sense for the Bison. But that's kind of the next step, is that Valley conference, not the conference that it used to be when Creighton was in it and when Wichita State was in it, but a better conference than the Summit overall, I think, with your Indiana States and, your Loyola's, obviously their magical run. Your Illinois States even and Indiana State are a little bit above the Oral Robertses of the world and the Western Illinois of the world, certainly. So that's an interesting mid-major game. And then I think the premier game in the non-conference schedule from a quality standpoint. And I understand they play at Marquette. I understand, obviously, that they play at Kansas State. But the best, the big time, the major matchup for NDSU, I think the game that if they win it has a chance to really define their non-conference slate, is Steve Forbes and East Tennessee State. That's a really good program. It's a mid-major program that maybe not a ton of people know about, but is a really, really good club. Steve Forbes and his squad absolutely kicked North Dakota State's teeth in last year. Absolutely no question about it. Not a debatable thing. That one was certainly ugly. 61-79. They were never really in striking distance. I mean, this was a 12-point game at half in the wrong direction. The only guy that they really lose is, for some unknown reason, Jeremy Rodriguez, who had 14 points in that game, decided to declare and go pro at least 1 year early. But they're going to bring back Trey Boyd and most of the rest of that club. Did you have a chance, first of all, to watch any East Tennessee State? Obviously, people know Steve Forbes, but this is a big-time game, I think, for the Bison, with that many people returning for East Tennessee State to prove that they've made not only that they've made a leap, but that this is our house, that this is the shack, that we're not going to get pushed around because, hey, they got their asses kicked.
Yeah, I mean, they return a lot. I got to watch a little bit of them. I believe they played Wofford in the semis last year, championship week. I mean, they're a team, they're going to get up and down. They're going to get guards that are quick and get in the paint. They're going to try to pressure you. They're going to try to speed up the game. But that's the game when we talk about playing in the big dance and getting that 12 or 13 seed. That could be the difference between getting a 12 or 13 seed and getting a 14 seed. Absolutely. That game's going to be huge as far as mid-majors go, because both teams could make the tournament. And if both teams make the tournament and you got that win over East Tennessee State at home or not, that is, the selection committee is going to look at that. So, I mean, like I said, that could be the difference between a 13 and 14 seed and playing a 3 or 4 seed. I mean, it is a big difference, especially in March. Those 4 or 5 seeds are either underachieving teams or kind of teams that are showed vulnerability throughout the year. But that matchup is going to be fun. Hopefully we can get the Shack Pack for that one. It's going to be a Saturday night, probably after a quarterfinal football game. So the fans can just go get something to eat, have a couple beers and get over the shack and be loud for that game, because that's I hope it can be a great atmosphere because it's going to be a great game on the floor with two teams that are going to compete at a very high level.
Yeah, I'm going to be stumping that whole week of the what will likely almost certainly be a quarterfinal matchup in Fargo. Likely that 11 a.m. nationally televised game because that'll be after the FBS season is over and teams are waiting for their bowls. It's going to have the, you know, the eyes of the nation upon us type of feel. That 7 p.m. game against East Tennessee State better be a sellout, or I'm you know, I'm coming after all of you because that's a primo non-conference game for a team picked first in their league. The Shack is, you know, the people talk about the issues with the seating, and I understand some of that, but you know, we used to pack the BBF guys, or excuse me, not the BBF, the Bison Sports Arena, the BSA, not the BBF, the BSA. You know, the BSA used to be packed to the rafters, and I understand that there were some issues with the Shack, and I get it, but it is still 10 times the venue that the BSA was, and time was when that place was absolutely to the ceiling, and I'd like to see it that way again. I think what Coach Richmond has done with this program, it's the they're deserving of that, and so I think Nate's probably going to be here, and we're going to provide wall to wall coverage on December 7th. That's going to be you know, a day where I kind of just tell my wife I'll see you on Sunday, because that's a big time Saturday. Back out to Cal State Northridge.
Again, Mark Gottfried.
L.A. What's that? Yeah, Gottfried, absolutely. Again, that might be one where I, you know, try and sneak on the charter. L.A., the middle of the week of December, really sounds like some place I'd rather be. Then Montana State at home. That's a nice little matchup as well, especially with the football history with those guys. And then likely Nate's first road game as a credentialed member of the media when North Dakota State goes out and plays against Marquette, which will be broadcast nationwide on FS1, certainly with Marcus Howard, a chance for Vinny Shahid to kind of show what he can do. And frankly, another, you know, national stage for North Dakota State athletics to continue to build their brand. Then you just get into the Summit League schedule. Some of the highlights of that would be a Saturday home game against North Dakota. You always like to see that game on a Saturday so people can show up. And closing out the season at home, these would be two big games, Thursday night against South Dakota State and Saturday senior day for, you know, the guys we've talked about against Omaha. I think two winnable games to close things out there at the end of February. So any other thoughts, Nate, anything you want to kind of get off your chest? We're approaching the 50-minute mark, which is about the end of the rope for most of these. So anything you'd like to get off your chest?
Just that conference schedule. It's a pretty good schedule. There really isn't any where they have a bunch of road games in a row. There's one stretch in that schedule where they play Fort Wayne, Omaha, or Western Illinois, Fort Wayne, Omaha. And I think besides that, everything's pretty split up. So I think it's definitely
for sure. And that you know, Western and Fort Wayne, which is the actual back to back, you know, the Thursday, Saturday, those should be winnable games. I mean, you know, like we said, Fort Wayne lost a ton. Western, to be very blunt, is a one man show, especially now that Gilbeck is gone. And so you're right. It's a favorable look. I think it's a very, very favorable look. Hey folks, we want to thank you if you're still listening at this point, it means you're an absolute diehard. We want to thank you for holding on with us this entire time. As always, guys, the number one way to support Nate and I in this venture is to become a VIP member of the Bison Report. We're going to be able to give you access to the entire 24/7 network. So if you're a Vikings fan, Viking Update. If you're a Packers fan, Packer Report. If you follow major college sports, maybe you like Ohio State, their 24/7 site is a part of our network, as is Badger 24/7, or like my buddy Ryan Burns still running Gopher Illustrated. It's all there for you. It's a fantastic value. We're either going to give you the first month for $1, or we're going to just do 30% off of a VIP. annual pass either way, and you can always upgrade from monthly to annual to maximize your savings if you want to do a month from a month for a dollar and then the 30% off. That's going to be 100% made available to you, just so you understand that. Thanks, Nate, one more time for your time, and thanks everyone for listening, and go Bison.